Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. You guys are in for an inspiring episode with my man, Ian Bowen. In 2008, Ian was left paralyzed by a rare disease, unable to sit upright in bed, walk, or play with his children. But he refused to accept what the experts were telling him. When the doctor said, "You'll never run again," Ian's response was, "Watch me." His unstoppable will and resilience to refuse to accept his prognosis showcase his determination as he learned how to stand, walk, and eventually run again. He had many setbacks and challenges due to his illness and side effects from medications over the years, but his positive persistence propelled him not to settle for good enough. Ian built back a life that ignited his drive and inspired those around him to achieve greatness. In 2022, after years of dedication, commitment, and perseverance, Ian ran and completed his first marathon. Today, he shares his incredible story as a motivational expert and fitness professional, and is a proud husband and father to 6 beautiful children. Man, thank you for joining us today, Ian.
Dan, thank you so much for having me here. I am honored to be here and to spend some time with you.
Yeah, likewise, man. We connected in Dallas about 7 weeks ago now, and your story is just so empowering. I felt pieces of my story and your story, and like we were talking, it was Amberly Lago's event, and I'm like, you know, my story is almost like Amberly's story, and I feel like we have this triangle of overcoming resilience or adversity and being resilient, and I'm just so excited to share your story because it's, you know, people talk about marathons, and that's such a hard thing to do, and just running in general, like a half marathon that I have coming up. But you were really set back, and you had to build back everything from like physically to mentally. And so I'm just super excited to dive in the mindset as well that you had to overcome all these obstacles, because I'm sure, you know, it was just left and right obstacle after another.
Absolutely. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off of what you just said, even though that your story and my story are different, there are a lot of parallels there.
Yeah.
You know, and some are really similar. Some of the things that we went through in terms of being in a hospital and dealing with that whole situation. And again, the mindset thing of having to really set your mind on recovery, right? Even though that you're in this place where you just went through a very traumatic experience where literally some of you is now gone. And then knowing how to, you know, really make a path to move forward and figure that out. And how am I going to not only heal physically, but also heal mentally so I can now be the best version of myself and be the person that I once was, which, you know, to be honest, was my first and biggest mistake in my recovery, was trying to become the person that I was before my surgery.
Wow.
And I had to realize that that person's gone. Like, no matter how much I wanted my life to return back to normal, quote unquote, back to normal, like that wasn't going to happen. So I had to really focus on becoming the best version of who I have become and take that to 100%. The new me, and make that the new improved me, right? Even though, I had a hitch in my giddy up now, and I had a lot of deficiencies, which I still do. I still have deficiencies from that surgery 15 years ago, but it's all about making the best of who I am now and being even better than I was before. Because as a personal trainer, I've told my clients this for many years, is that we're not looking for good, we're looking for great.
Yeah, striving for excellence over here. That's what we do. And I love how you said like a piece of you almost like died off. And I'm thinking like it's almost like a phoenix like rising from the ashes. Like we went through that and now we have to, bring this new life off from us. And like I totally understand. It's like I wanted to get back to my normal, but I have a new normal now. And that's something that was really hard for me to accept and cope with. It's just not holding on to what was and being in the past anymore. It's like we're always changing, we're always evolving, and that's a mindset as well. And just being able to be adaptable, I think that's one of the most undervalued skills in today's society is being adaptable, and especially just navigating through adversity and not when something comes like just giving up on it or getting down on yourself like. How is this preparing you for something else? Like, that's how I always look at adversity now.
Yes, that's truly the key, Dan. Like, when you think about all the things that we've gone through in our life, if we're paying attention, we can learn from every situation.
Yes.
Every situation. So if we are keeping ourselves open, I like to say that we have like a metaphysical backpack, if you will. And after every experience that we go through, we can use that experience that we succeed. When we succeed, take that tool and put it in our backpack. Because what's going to happen is there is eventually going to be another challenge. There's going to be another roadblock. There's going to be another setback. But at that time, we need to remember that we can do hard things. And that's when we reach into our backpack and we pull out that tool from the last obstacle that we defeated. And we pull it out and we put it in our arsenal to help us defeat the next thing, right? So it's all about the experiences that we go through and how we choose to grow through them. But I think you're right. In society, a lot of people don't look at adversity that way. Adversity comes and then it's like, what am I going to do? And then the woe is me sets in, and then negativity sets in, defeat sets in. Negative self-talk sets in, right? And now we've created a new mindset for ourselves
Right.
that I can't, I won't, I don't, I'll try, And that's another thing that I've been telling my clients for years is that when they work out with me, there's five words that are not allowed in our space when working out. And that is try, can't, won't, don't, and sorry. Because those are all powerless words that lead to negativity. And I tell my clients, that's not what we're about. We're about I can, I will, I must. Because really, the key to move forward is to be focusing on the things that you can do and
Yes.
not the things that you can't do. And those were some of the keystones that really helped me heal, helped me move forward, helped me on my journey to go from being a paraplegic in a wheelchair to being able to run that marathon.
Man, we are just rolling through this. I'm not even looking at the questions. We're just having a natural conversation here. And you brought up the experiences, and I'm like, well, this is the show title. Like, EMG, experiences plus mindset equals growth, and you're just rolling with the theme. That's the life that you live, and so it was the life that I lived through my experiences. And a piggyback question on all of this is, where do you think that we learn the most from? Because there's this famous Tony Robbins quote, success leaves clues, and we
Yeah.
want to follow those clues. But I've found that the biggest lessons come from those painful experiences. So I'm curious on your take. Where have you, gained the most life lessons that you're sharing with your clients even?
Hardship. You just said it.
Yeah.
It's the hardships, And for me, I can trace it back to There's a couple of moments in my life as a child that stand out that really, I think, set the tone for me. If for nothing else, really my mental toughness, my mental fortitude was cast when I was about 8 years old. My parents took me to summer camp that was about 5 hours away from home. Now, again, at eight, most kids, at least, I'm going to date myself here, but I was born in 76. So, we're talking early to mid 80s here. So at that point, 8 years old, kids maybe have slept over at their friend's house, one or two times, but they're not, away from home for a long period of time. My parents took me to a camp that was 5 hours away from home, and it was a 4 week overnight camp. So for 4 weeks, I was away from home. And this was a camp, I grew up in Minnesota. And this was a camp in International Falls, so like the boundary of Canada, so way up north. So beautiful area. And it was a wilderness camp. So we had a canoe, we had to hike. But when I say canoe, I mean we took canoe trips. So at 8 years old, I'm in a canoe with a counselor and another camper, and we are literally canoeing 4 miles. And then
Wow.
we get to land. We don't stop there. Now we have to do what's called portaging. So that means we have to pick up the canoe, carry it overhead. We have to walk a trail, hike for a mile until we get to the other side, put the canoe back in the water, and we keep paddling until it gets dark. Then we make camp. On top of that, you can imagine like there's no helicopter dropping off your supplies for you. You're carrying everything with you. So at 8 years old, I had a 40-pound pack on my back. While I'm hiking through the woods with the canoe over my head, because I had to, I'm at this camp for 4 weeks. So in the beginning, I hated it, but by the time I was done, at least my parents tell me when they picked me up that I didn't want to leave. I loved it. But once I got back to like regular life, I was a different kid. I learned to be self-efficient. I learned to be more confident. And from that day forward, I was a very independent individual. But I learned an important lesson that early on in life is that when I was on those trails and I was like, I don't know if I can make it another step. And other kids were crying and like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I learned to talk to myself instead of listen to myself.
Wow.
So at that very early age, I started talking to myself in my head. Come on, Ian, you can do this. A couple more steps. You got this. Let's go. And that really has stuck with me through everything that I've been through in my life. And that was the first thing that I could remember that really tested my mettle, if you will. Going forward in high school, I had an injury. Soccer was my sport. And it was my junior year. I wanted to make varsity and I injured myself and I wasn't able to run because of the pain. Had to go through some chiropractic care and some physical therapy. And that summer I put the work in. That's where I fell in love with working out, as a matter of fact. Luckily for me, my parents bought me a weight set and I was hitting the weights twice a day. I was working on my skills. And when trials came the next year, made the team. And that really, again, was like, okay, I've got this journey that I'm going to be on because I have this goal that I want to make. Here's the obstacle that I have to overcome. And it was just like, I know what I have to do. So I'm going to go do it. But again, I'm not going to just do the bare minimum. I'm going to do the extra to make sure I do enough to make the team. And it worked out, So again, there was that mental fortitude of do whatever it takes to get to where I want to get to. Something else that really is a little less tangible, I guess, that drives me to this day is acceptance. So I grew up in, I had a great childhood. My parents were wonderful. I didn't have an alcoholic father, I didn't have an abusive father. But I had a father who was emotionally detached. And I didn't come from a family, I'm an only child. I didn't come from a family that was all about hugs and kisses and physical touch. I didn't get any of that. And my father, to my recollection anyway, and he's passed, would rather watch a football game than hang out with his only child. So I always was striving for his acceptance, always striving for his praise. And I think that's in a lot of ways what still drives me today, because even when I do something that I should be proud of myself for, it's almost like I just did another thing. Okay, now what's the next thing? So I guess that's also like that's probably a weakness of mine, something I need to work on. But it's just like, okay, I ran a marathon. What's the next thing? What am I going to do next? Because I guess I don't feel that I've got that, I guess that praise to say, good job, well done, I'm proud of you, to make me feel fulfilled, like, and feel like the thing that I just did is enough.
Wow. Yeah, and thank you for being vulnerable for sharing that because, we all have our backstories, we all have our relationships with our parents, and, a lot of people are in similar situations where they didn't get that love that they truly desired and needed, especially in those early ages. And I'm gonna flip it on you because I know you're such an amazing man and with your family as well. Does that drive you to be like the father that you wish you had growing up?
For sure. I told myself this, Dan, before I had kids, is that the thing that I will learn the most from my dad are the things not to do.
Same.
Right? And I wish I could stand here in front of you and say that I was 100% true to that thought, but call it epigenetics. I don't know. There are some things that came through that. I look back now when my kids were younger, and it's like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that because it was just like my dad. It was just like my father. But when I'm conscious of what I'm doing and I am really purposeful, then yes, it does drive me to make sure that I am giving the hugs, I am giving the kisses, I am giving the adulation, I am giving the quality time to my kids. And I'm remarried. So I have four stepsons that are awesome, and it's really been a blessing for me because my wife is all of those things. Like, she is the most giving, generous, loving, kinesthetic person that loves to wrap their arms around you and let you feel the love. And she's like my emotional Yoda. She's my emotional guru. Like, she shows me how good love can really be. And that's really opened me up, and that's allowed me to really show that I can be that way too. And it feels so good, Dan. Like, it feels so good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And shout out to your wife because I actually met her first in Dallas, telling my story a little bit. And she's like, "You have to talk to my husband, Ian. Like, your stories are so paralleled." And then you were just in a conversation. I'm like, "There he is. I just gotta introduce myself." And then the rest is history, and here we are. So it's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, one of my questions here was like, before we get into 2008, where your entire life flipped upside down. I was curious, what were some of those early adversities that prepared you for this next challenge? But it sounds like the camping trip and going through the sports injuries, like those were two big pivotal moments in your life. Was there anything else that really gave you that mindset to tell your doctor, just watch me? Or were those really the cornerstones of what led to, that mindset that you had
I
and still
think,
have?
the only other thing is, again, it goes back to my father, and he was really a strict dad. Like, he really wanted me to be him. So up until like age probably 13, I was a cookie cutter image of him. Hairstyle just like him. He had me dressed like him. He wanted me to talk a certain way, walk a certain way, like look a certain way, present myself a certain way. So I always kind of like a joke, like I always had an issue with authority, because when I finally started thinking for myself, I wanted to buck the system. Anything that my dad wanted me to do, I was like, nope, I want to do the opposite.
Right.
And he would always have a way of making suggestions. He would say, Ian, may I make a suggestion? Which I knew was, oh God, all right, he's going to tell me what to do, but just in a covert way, right? So when the doctor told me, like, you're not going to be able to do this, I think that the answer, my rebuttal, was fueled by years of my dad telling me to do one thing or not to do something. And I was like, well, I'm going to show you that I am going to do this. And so when the doctor said, you're most likely not going to run again, to be honest, I just went to an unreasonable place. And that was just watch me. Like, I had I'm getting excited just talking about it, but I had this fire in me, kind of like, you don't know who you're talking to, doctor. Like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know who I am. How dare you tell me that I'm not going to run again? Watch me do it. And I had no business thinking that, right? Because here I am, post-surgery, from the chest down, paralyzed. No feeling, no sensation, no movement, no promise that I'm going to get any of my capabilities back. But in that moment, that again set the tone, set the trajectory for my path. Because my life changed in that moment. And I had two options, like we all do. We all have two options when any obstacle comes in our way, how we deal with it. It's either going to be positive or negative. And very similar to your story, while I was in the hospital, had a lot of time on my hands. I was in there for about 3 weeks. I'm re wheeling around in my wheelchair because that's the only way I could get around at the time. And I went down to a level below me, which was the pediatrics level. And I saw these young kids who had spinal cord injuries, brain injuries, and they were acting like kids still. Right, these 6-year-olds, 12-year-olds, some 16-year-olds who hadn't, at the time I was 32. And I thought to myself, these kids have not experienced life. Like, if I were to have, my life would have ended that day. I thought to myself, like, I've already lived a pretty full life. I had a good life up to that point at 32. These kids don't know anything about life. But here they are living like just being kids, even though they've had this traumatic experience. So I thought to myself, look, if they can be that way, why can't I? Like, what I've got going on isn't so bad, right? And I know that you had a similar experience while you were in the hospital. And it's the shining light from these kids that are just unassuming, and they're so resilient because they don't know any different. Right? They don't know any different. Like, who's gonna tell a kid, like, yeah, you're gonna suffer for the rest of your life? No, they're gonna sugarcoat a little bit for that kid, right? And that kid, unless you tell a child that they can't, they're gonna think that they can't, right? Because I know this, right? So being a dad for quite a long time now, because my oldest is 21 and my youngest is 7. For example, when they come home with a piece of artwork that they made at school and they're so excited about it, they want to show you, and they give it to you, and right, in all rights, it's a bunch of scribbles, right? But you act like it is the most amazing piece of artwork that you have ever seen. And they love that. They want that feedback from you, right? And at that moment, now they think that they are the best artist in the world. And they're going to continue to think that until somebody says that they're not. And I think as adults, we lose that just positive persistence that kids have, because we take this negative input from other people and we make it our own. We hold on to it. We let their perception of us become our reality. And I think that's where we start to lose our self-confidence. We start to lose our self-esteem. We start to lose the fact that we are amazing beings. Like we are capable of so much. Like we have the power to be amazing.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable, yes. But we doubt ourselves because we allow, again, we allow negative energy to come in and change our mindset. We don't have to. We don't have to. We are capable of amazing things and being unstoppable. And you are a testament to that. You've been through the ringer. You've been through a health crisis. You literally have pieces of you that are gone.
Literally, yes.
Literally, yes. Right? Like who would think that you could live without a colon? Like, I didn't know you could do that, right? But you bounced back, you made it happen, and now look where you're sitting. You're impacting and influencing tons of people with your story, with your mission, with what you're doing. And me being the same, coming back with my story, I'm no different than anybody else. Right? It's not a superpower that I was born with. It's a simple choice that I made. When adversity came, what am I going to do? And at that point in time, my daughter was six, my son was one, I was 32 years old. And as the hip hop artist NF, he's got a song that's called Options. And he talks about I either make it or make it. These are the options. And that was it. Like, burn the boats, take the island, whatever metaphor you want to use. Like, there was no choice but to succeed. And that was it. And I love how E.T., Eric Thomas, used to say, like, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then it's going to happen. And that was just like, that was encoded into my DNA at that moment in time when the doctor said, yeah, we don't know if you're going to run again. It's like, okay. Let's start some physical therapy. Let's go.
Yeah, man, you're firing me up over here. There's so
Man, I'm
much.
telling you, Jack, I'm getting jacked, Dan. I'm getting jacked. I love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, like there's so much to pick up on in there. And, going back to those days with me in the hospital, like you said, I think for anyone out there that is going through something where, whether it's a surgery or you're diagnosed with this illness all of a sudden and, you're really feeling bad about yourself, like get that perspective. Like go around, talk to other people that are also battling it. And for me, I was in the children's ward still because I was 16, 17 at the time. And, that's when I had my surgeries. And so I could see kids literally half my age, half my height that were honestly like in worse conditions than me. And that just opened my eyes so much. I've never seen something like that before. And it just gave me this perspective and deep sense of empathy for others that don't have the voice that I have. Like I started a blog documenting my first 4 years of this whole recovery process. I didn't even have the words to describe, what I was going through yet, but I just started taking pictures of my body transformation. Like that's something I could do. I started putting little sentences, those sentences turned into paragraphs, and then I started like turning this into a whole article and a blog, and I just had this moral obligation. The most vulnerable thing I could ever do. Like, I would never think that I would talk about the things that are in that blog and share some of those pictures. Like, my whole colon's on there. There's, apart from the other surgery, where I just have this hole in my stomach and it's very gnarly, but it's real life. And that's what I had to go through. That's what other people are going through. And if I can just help one person out there get through their battles, and even if it's someone that just finds that story inspiring because they're going through another obstacle in their life that's not even related to Crohn's, if they can see that, I went through this crazy extreme circumstance, if they see that you were paralyzed from the neck down and now you can run a marathon, like, what can I do in my life that, how can I overcome my obstacles? Like, look at these other people, and that just brings inspiration. And so that's really the message of what I try to do here with the podcast and the brand is be that beacon of hope and icon of inspiration to help others get through their battles and their adversity. So I really respect your journey and, you know, what you're doing now and your willingness to share and give back. Dr. Doug's offers the best organic topical balms for protecting, healing, and restoring your skin and life. Just twist off a cap, apply like lotion, and get ready to feel outstanding. My favorite products are the magnesium balm for headaches and recovery balm for coaching basketball or training for a Spartan race. But that's not all. It started with Dr. Doug's original Miracle Balm, a rejuvenating balm fueled with all organic ingredients, including beeswax, extra virgin olive oil, extra virgin coconut oil, shea butter, peppermint and lavender essential oils, and vitamin E. This one-of-a-kind solution is designed to tackle an array of skin concerns such as itchy dry skin, eczema, any rashy irritated areas, and much more. Now if you're bright and pasty like me, you may want to consider their Miracle Balm plus zinc as a natural sunscreen to keep you from frying up without any harmful SPF chemicals that are linked to cancer. Now do you hate bugs? Me too, but we got you. Try Dr. Doug's Bug Potion to repel bugs, relieve itchy bites, and kill bacteria so you can enjoy the great outdoors once again. There is truly something for everybody, including that little one in your life who is trying to tell you to get Dr. Doug's Baby Balm for their bum right now. And here's your chance. Click the link in our show notes now to enhance your life with Dr. Doug's balms and get extra to share with those who you care about. Take back your power and feel outstanding with Dr. Doug's natural balms. You know, for me, stoicism was one of the things, because I was in a victim mentality for a long time. I'm not sure, you know, how that was for you. We'll dive into that in a second here, but I was blaming everything. I was pointing the finger. The doctors couldn't help me, so it was their fault. And so it wasn't until I took accountability, you know, maybe I wasn't the direct cause of this illness because they don't even know how it occurs still, but it's my responsibility to get better and fix it. If the doctors can't help me, I have to find a way. Just like you, like it's one way or one way. Like we're going to make this happen. And so for me, it's like just taking control of the things that I control, because there was so much overwhelming things that were outside of my control. So if I can control my diet, the things I put into my body, you know, managing my stress better, those are the two biggest things. And then going to exercise and stay consistent, even on the days that I don't feel like it, you know, these things start stacking, you know, that mental resilience, I start seeing results in my life, that starts picking up momentum, and it just keeps on going in this snowball effect in the positive direction. So I'm curious, when you were diagnosed and you were, you know, just your entire life flipped upside down and you didn't see this coming, how did you get through those really dark days when, you know, you couldn't even see any light at the end of the tunnel?
I had a really great physical therapist. So I was in at the Mayo Clinic up in Rochester, Minnesota for 3 weeks. Had some amazing care there, had a great care team, had a great physical therapist there, got back home, and I my general practitioner hooked me up with a local physical therapist. Her name was Dolly Facke, and she was amazing. She is, you know, she'll probably kill me to say this, but she's like 5 foot tall, you know, maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. But, you know, she didn't take any mess from me. Like, I came in day one in my wheelchair, and she did some exercises with me and kind of, you know, saw what I could do. And as I was leaving, she's like, I'll see you tomorrow, but don't come back here in your wheelchair. Come back here in your walker. Like, so she set the expectation for me. So moving forward and working with her, I would have mostly good days. So I'm typically a pretty upbeat and energetic guy, even before my surgery. But there were those days where I would have those doubts, and the negative energy would creep in. There would be the like, man, this sucks. Like, did I make the right decision in having this surgery? Because there was an option to either do the surgery or try to continue to treat my disease with medication. And I couldn't help but think some days like, what if I didn't do the surgery? What if I did the medication? Would I have these issues? Would life be this hard right now? And I'd walk in, quote unquote, walk in. I would come into physical therapy, and she would see that on my face, and we would start our session, and we would talk, and I would kind of tell her how I was feeling, and she would give me a couple of minutes, and then she would look at me and she would say, "Are you done now? Are you ready to get to work?" "All right, yes, Dolly, let's go." So she allowed me to have that pity party, which was awesome, which was great by her to let me sit in those emotions, let me feel them for a minute, but then also pull me out of it and say, "Okay, are you done? Because we have work to do. Let's go." Right? So she really helped me stay out of the valleys, right? Because we have valleys and we have peaks in life, right? Because life is like this. But what I found is the goal is not to stay in here, not to wallow in here. Find a way to crawl back up so you can get back to the peak here, because this is where the change happens. This is where the growth happens. But it's okay, because you're going to have those down days because we're human, but we can't stay there. We have to keep moving. And I think what else speaks to that, Dan, is just my experience in, again, going back to when I was a kid. I grew up in Minnesota. So I was, one of the only, if not the only, African American in school, in my neighborhood, in the church that I grew up in. And so just in my day-to-day life, being different than everybody else. And you go to some places and people look. People stare. Again, I grew up, I'm born in 76, so this is the early 80s. And at an early age, I think I just put up the barriers and the walls of, I don't have time for that. Like, whatever dispersions you're trying to cast on me, like, I'm not going to deal with that.
Right.
So there's always been some sort of resiliency kind of, I guess, factory installed when I was a kid to just, do me. Like, I'm going to do what I need to do to either fit in, or I'm going to do what I need to do to be able to, assimilate to the situation that I'm in so I can succeed. So I guess I kind of feeds in to answer your question. When those dark days came, I would acknowledge them, but then it'd be like, okay, I need to get back to work. Like, I don't have time to sit in these feelings forever, because that's not going to get me to where I need to go.
Yeah, I mean, I always say awareness is the first step to changing anything. And you got through, you had that awareness of like things like I'm in a negative state right now. But then it's like that shift of perspective, that one question, are you done yet? It's like, okay, yeah, there's still work to do. I want to move forward. I don't want to stay here first and foremost. And it's like, let's get to that place where I want to be. And honestly, I want to take this a little bit mental. So I think that the physical healing, that's actually, in my mind, easier than the mental. So for me, like I had all these setbacks and it really affected my self-worth. And so that I took like 5 years to really heal physically. But we were at Amberlee's event and we did this like visualization with Rudy and that really just brought me through this whirlwind of emotions where, I started feeling like a lack of self-worth because of my illness and this identity that has almost like a label that's been casted on me because of that. And I thought I shed that off. But, when it comes to like living the life that I really want and, having like deep, intimate relationships, I felt like someone couldn't love someone that has like a chronic illness like I have and still have complications. And so that just like ate me up. And it was like this releasing that happened. But
Yeah.
now it's like 8 years. And so I healed myself physically, but mentally, I still got some work to do, honestly. And so I'm curious for you, where has that, all of that experience, like mentally, how has that impacted your self-worth? And what have you done to heal that part of you?
That is an awesome question, Dan. And to be honest, I still have a lot of mental healing to do. Not from a self-worth angle, but simply that I was so focused and driven on pushing myself forward and getting out of my situation and recovering and getting back to 100% that I never took a lot of time to really feel how my situation was making me feel, if that makes sense. Like it was just my emotions were just, it was on overdrive to always be moving forward, like always be focusing on what else can I be doing? What other physical therapy movements can I do when I'm at home? Even when I was going through physical therapy, I was going to the gym with my walker, with my cane, with my crutches. And just doing whatever I could in the gym. Like it's always like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? How can I push? And I never really sat in what was going on with me up here. And there are times now that, to be honest, when I'll be thinking about my past and my journey, and I'll get emotional. And I'll be like, where is that coming from? Well, that's because I never really dealt with those deep emotions when I was going through it. Because I just packed those away. Like, I don't, like, again, I don't have time for that right now. I need to focus on getting better. So I talked to my wife about this. Like, I need to seek some help and unpack all of that because I think all that's going to do is that's going to give me more insight. And that's going to help me be a better version of me, essentially. Because things that are unseen are still holding me back in areas. And I need to be able to point them out. I need to flush them out. I need to deal with them, release them so that I can be a better version of me.
Man, thank you for
And
sharing that as well.
I think that a lot of people out there, that's the MO. That's their go-to. Like, I'm just gonna pack this in. I'm gonna pack this in. I'm gonna push this down. I'm not gonna deal with this, and I'm just gonna soldier through, which
Especially
is
the men,
great.
yeah.
Yes, exactly. Especially African American men. We're not gonna show that we're soft,
Yeah, no
right?
weakness.
Yeah, no, we can't do that because that's not what men do. But then later on, and that serves you in that moment to get you through whatever that is. But then after that, that only drags you down. That only brings you negative energy. Things start happening, like why am I feeling this way? Why aren't things going my way, maybe? And it's because you haven't dealt with that stuff in the past. And that's something that I need to do. That's something that I need to really dive into, unpack all that stuff and get it out there. So again, I can be the best version of me.
Yeah. Quick question. Do you journal by chance?
Off and on.
Off and on. Yeah, it's been one
Off
of
and
the
on.
biggest things that have helped me.
Yeah. And that's something that I find as a practice, I did, to tell you the truth, consistently for the first probably 3 or 4 months after my surgery. And I go back and I read that, and that pulls at my heartstrings, to tell you the truth. Because then I'm forced to see like where I've actually come from in terms of this journey. I'm forced to look at what was actually happening in my life at that time. Because when I was writing it and living it, it was just like, this happened today, I'm moving forward. But now when I look back and I see, holy crap, like I forget that, not to be too graphic for your viewers, but I I had to cath myself at home. Like I couldn't go to the bathroom on my own. Like my bladder wasn't functioning. So I had to cath myself and I had issues with going to the bathroom. And, you know, I remember writing in my journal, I was able to put my pants on today for the first time standing up. Like
Yeah.
up until that point, I had to sit on the edge of the bed and figure out how to get my pants on.
And that's your
And
biggest win
so,
of the week.
yeah, you know, that could have been my biggest win of the month, right? But I look back at that and I'm like, man, okay, that again forces me to look at that. And then that again really starts to pull the emotions out, like, because then I emotionally remember where I was at that time. And it's rewarding to look at that, because then now I can say to myself, I can give myself that praise that I've been searching for, like, wow, I really have come a long way, right? And that's important for me. That's a win for me, to validate the success that I've had in terms of physically coming back from that surgery. So I will take your advice and I will start to get back to journaling, because that really is it's a huge tool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And stop and smell the roses from time to time as well. We're always pushing forward, but we could be climbing this mountain and we have this amazing scenery right here. It's like stop and enjoy and make that memory. Like when there was a thing that Jesse Itzler said last weekend, and while you're building your empire, if you have a chance to make a moment and a memory, take it because you're not going to get that back. And that's gonna be something that, especially with family, you never know. Like, this could be my last day, it could be your last day, it could be one of our listeners' last day. And I always live by the motto of every day is a new life. So let's make the most of it. Let's push ourselves. Let's make a positive impact, inspire kindness, and smell the roses. Like, enjoy life. We're here to enjoy it. We're here to push each other forward. So if we're in that tunnel vision of just trying to accomplish this goal, we're not really living the life that we were designed to live, in my opinion. So, something for all of us, including myself, like I need to also do that a bit more. So, I'm glad we're having this conversation and think we can
Yeah,
both grow from it.
for sure, Dan. I mean, you're so right in terms of like smelling the roses and not letting life pass you by. Because as far as I know, this is the one that I get. Like, this is my one shot. This is the one life I get to live, right? I don't know what happens at the end of this one, so better make it count. Better make it worth it.
Exactly.
So noticing the small wins, which actually I have a tool that I've used for forever for these past 15 years, and something I created is called Rinse. And the N in Rinse is notice your wins. So it's all about noticing, and you talked about it, noticing those small ones that you have and stacking them up on top of each other, right? Because as we know, as we take those small wins and we stack them, those small wins turn into big ones. But for a lot of us, we're always focused on the goal. Like, we're focused on the achievement, and we're not really paying attention to the small wins that we have along the way. And what I found is by noticing those small wins, not only do we get the dopamine hit that we're always after, right? We get that immediate gratification that I just did this, but we also get the serotonin built in, that long-term happiness, because now we can look back and say, I just did this. And I've been working to do this. And I just did this little thing, but I got it done. Pat on the back, look how far I've come. Right? So that then gives you not only the yes, I achieved something, but wow, I'm building on something and I'm still making progress to move forward. So when we can notice those small wins, that helps to continue to push us forward so we don't get stuck down here. So we can climb back up and be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so good. And gratitude. Amberlee Lago talks about that, her grit and grace. And that's something I've really applied from her, is like giving myself more grace and gratitude and just celebrating the small things in life and just being grateful, because we can't be negative and grateful at the same time. So I'd rather be
Right.
grateful than negative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, so I'm loving this kind of, like literally we're just rolling. I'm not even really going through my questions here. But something I do have, like we're talking about this inner fire and it's just been radiating through this whole conversation. You know, I'm curious, like how are you using this inner fire and how are you transfusing that now to inspire greatness in those around you today?
So mostly on a day-to-day basis, it's in my gym. So my wife and I own a gym, Chesterton Fit Body Boot Camp. And really all the things that I've been talking about with you are things that I have been talking with or to my members for, it's like I've been in fitness now for probably about 11 years. So I'm not on the floor as much as I used to be. But when I am, this is what comes out. Like, this is the energy that comes out, the passion that comes out, the fire that comes out is all laid out on the floor because I want them to be the best versions of themselves. Like, and I want them to understand that through fitness, you can really achieve your full potential. Because there's nothing more exciting for somebody to when they see progress in their own fitness or in their health. So, for instance, if someone comes in and they have a difficult time doing a push-up, you know, I mean, working them through their program, and 3 weeks later, it is really great when you catch them doing it, right? And they don't even notice it. When you can say, "You are doing a push-up right now. Did you realize that when you came in here, you had to do push-ups on your knees, and now you're doing full push-ups? This is awesome." And they feel amazing, right? Because now they've got somebody catching them doing something right. As adults, we don't get adulation very often, right? We don't get the good job very often. So when someone takes the time to catch you doing something right and then gives you props for doing that, and then you really take a step back and you realize that, holy crap, I just did that. Yes, I just did a full push-up. And now when that session is over and they walk out the door, that's when the ripple effect begins. And what I mean by that is now they've got this self-confidence, right? And even if they had to borrow my self-confidence for them, like I believe in them, and they had to borrow that, they are now walking out the door with their chest a little puffed out. They're standing up a little bit taller because they're like, instead of push-up in there. And coach saw me do it and he told me, good job. So now that person walks out the door and they've got this beaming positive energy. And what happens now that affects everybody that they're going to come in contact with for the rest of the day. If they can't wait to get to work to tell their coworkers, I did a push-up. They can't wait to get home to tell, guess what mom did today? Yep, I did a push-up today. Right? And what that does is that starts that little spark. That starts that fire. That is the catalyst. So when they come in the next time, they want to do a little bit more because now they have more confidence. And they want to do a little bit more the next time. And it keeps building. And through that, I think people can understand that they can really fulfill their potential in all areas of their life when they start having those small wins physically. Because that's the easiest thing to do. It's the easiest thing for someone to improve is their strength, right? Their fitness. But that all starts up here, right? And that's where the mindset comes in, right? And for me, I've told my members for years, and I tell my kids this, is that when you've got it here, like mentally, when you've got your mind right, and you've got it here in your heart, like you're gonna do it, like you are committed to doing it, you're unstoppable. Nothing gets in your way at that point. Because when you link these two things together, there's nothing stronger than that. There is nothing stronger than that. When you've got the heart energy and the mind energy in sync and you are heading in one direction, forget about it. Forget
Man,
about it.
that's something we can all do as well. We can all put in the work to get our mind right. We can all find that thing that lights us up inside that, you know, just drives our heart to push on forward, you know. And when we link them, like you just said, it's like that's where the magic happens and we can all become unstoppable. We're all born with this type of potential. We're all born with, you know, a gift. And it's just about finding that and, you know, packaging it up a little bit sometimes and then just like moving forward with it. But you know, I just really encourage anyone out there listening is like, what is that thing for me? Like, what's the thing that really drives me from the inside out? And when you can really tap into that, you're gonna be unstoppable. You're gonna be just this force of nature, like Ian just said. And we're both living proof of it because we both really found our calling and our passion. And like, we're just driving forward. And people always say to me, like, how are you so disciplined, or how are you so consistent? It's like, I'm doing the things that I want to do, and I'm actually doing it. I see the progress, like you were saying, and it fuels me even more to keep on going. I see the impact that I'm making. Like, it's not even for me. It's like when I impact someone else, that lights me up. That just adds fuel to my fire to go help another person, to keep on helping that person, like get them more wins in their life. And so, like, when you can find that thing, it's like, oh my goodness, like your life. It just becomes so much more exciting. Even though it may be a little bit busier, you're not working for someone else doing something that you don't want to do. Like, you're gonna be waking up early on the dot because, like, you're on a mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. Like, when you are able to help somebody else, that's why I tell my team, as coaches, we have the best job in the world. Like, we are able to impact people's lives, like literally help them change their lives. And that is the best feeling, when you're able to see the light bulb come on, or you're able to see the result of somebody putting in the work and you've helped them get there. That is awesome. Like, that feeling is so great that you've helped someone become, at least put them on the path to becoming the best version of themselves. And that is an awesome. And I want to go back to something that you said, that we're all born with this thing that's inside us. And all of us have, at one point in time in our lives, we have elicited that heart and mind connection. We've all been through something where we had to put it together, and we've gotten through adversity, which we didn't think that we could do. Like, how am I going to deal with the situation? All of us have done it somewhere, somehow in our lives. Now, some of us have done it on a grand scale, some of us have done it on a smaller scale, but everybody has been through something. And like you said, if we can step back and just find that, remember that, and then again, I go back to that tool that I created. The R in rinse is remember. Remember, you can do hard things because you've done it before. You just have to think back to those successes, those wins that you had before, where you were like, I don't know if I can do this. And you did it. You got it done. Like, you can do hard things. And then moving forward in that is the I in rinse, which is imagine. And that is imagine the person that you want to become, or imagine the thing that you want to accomplish, and make it so clear, make it so vivid that you can step into that vision. Which is something that I had to do when I was in my hospital bed. Like, I had to envision walking again. I had to envision what it would be like just to be able to stand, be able to balance without holding on to something. Right. And that pulled me towards that vision. So imagine the thing that you want to accomplish. And then we already talked about the N in wrench, which is notice the small wins. And then the S is shift, and that is shifting your mindset. And we kind of touched on it earlier in this conversation about focusing on the things that you can do and not the things that you can't do. And it's all about getting your mind right, because once you believe it, you will achieve it. And then the E in rinse is expect. And that is expect it to be difficult.
I thought you were going to say
Ex
done. You got me.
expect it, expect it to be difficult, right? Because the journey is not going to be easy. Like, life is not going to lay down and say, here are your goals. Here you go. Right?
Right.
It's going to say, if you want them, come and get them. And you're going to have to push through adversity to get there. So expect it to be hard, because once you do, now you're starting to lay the foundation for mental fortitude. So for me, I always like to say, I'm gonna do it hard the first time. If I'm learning something new, let me do it hard. Because if I can do it hard, if it comes easy later, I got it licked. But if I do it the easy way first, and then the hard times come, what am I gonna do now? Right? So expect it to be hard. So when it comes, you're prepared for it. So the old cliche, the saying is it's not about how hard you get knocked down, it's how fast you get up or how you get up or what. I don't know what it is, but it's something to that effect,
Yeah.
right? But it's the simple fact that you get back up. You
Exactly.
get back up. Don't allow yourself to be sucker punched by life because you want this goal, you want to achieve this thing, and then it's hard and like, I didn't expect it to be this hard. Well, why not? Right? Like, expect it to be difficult. Prepare yourself for that. So when it comes, you're ready to go.
And that makes me think about my grandpa, because one of the life lessons he taught me is no matter what you do, you're going to have problems in life. And so if you slack off and you just like do all these bad things that put you in a hole, like you're going to have some serious problems. But then also if you're living in your purpose, you're doing the right things, you're going to be successful. But that success is also going to come with tons of challenges, obstacles, responsibilities. And like right now, I'm living in my alignment, but I'm the most busiest I've ever been. And like there's just so much going on and a lot of pieces to juggle, but that's a great problem. Like I've had worse problems. And so that's the perspective and the gratitude. It's like I'm grateful I get to do this. Like that's the whole thing I tell myself now. Like if I'm overwhelmed, I'm looking at my schedule like holy moly. It's like, well, like I get to do this today. Like these are things that, one day or in the past, like I wanted to be here. And now that I'm here, it's like, why would you feel like negative about it? Like you're here, you're doing the thing that you said you wanted to do. And another thing that, just hearing you talk, we all survived 100% of our worst days. So if you're going through a tough time, if life is striking you right now with something, remember those like success leaves clues. So do overcoming those adversities. It's like, how did you get through that? And then you can transfer those same skills, the same mental mentality that you had, and you can overcome this next obstacle too. You just have to have that belief that you can, and one step at a time. It's not going to happen overnight, but you can get through it. And having that belief is so essential to, make it to that other side.
Absolutely. And you talk about it's not going to happen overnight. You couldn't be more right. We live in this immediate gratification world these days. And I think, delayed gratification is something that people don't talk about enough.
Right. That's the
Like,
name of the game.
you got to put the work in over time. It's kind of like building a muscle. Like when you're working out, like over time, you can't just go to the gym one day, pump some iron, and all of a sudden have your dream body.
Yeah, don't
Right?
work.
Like you have to put in the work. You have to be consistent. You have to be dedicated. And over time, you're going to get there. And along the way, you start to see the progress. Like you said, like when you got onto your fitness journey and you started eating differently, you're changing nutrition, you were working out, and you started seeing those results, you started seeing your body change.
Oh yeah.
How good does that feel? Like, right? Like,
It
hey,
drove me forward to keep on doing
yeah, right? Because
it.
you want more of it. You want to be better.
Exactly.
You want it, like you get a taste for it. Like, man, okay. Yes, let me do more work so I can continue to improve. But we all know that like it doesn't happen overnight. And for a lot of people, they get stuck in that. Like it doesn't happen fast enough for them. So it's like, eh, this didn't work, or this is not for me. And then they end up right back where they started.
That's true.
Right. And so it's really important for people to understand like success does not happen overnight. Like you have to put in the work. And when you're trying to dig yourself out of a negative situation or negative headspace, that's hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
Because you want to be out of that feeling so quickly. Like you want to be better tomorrow. But that's just not how life works.
Man, I love the alignment that we have in this conversation. It's so good. I do got one last question before we wrap things up. It's one of my favorite questions that I love asking people. What has been the greatest lesson or piece of advice received that has made the biggest impact on you?
So that's easy for me to answer. When I was in the hospital, my best friend from high school gave me a quote, or he shared this quote with me from Gandhi. And it has been my motto. I've adopted it as my motto, let's say, ever since. And that is that strength does not come from physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. So again, when you have it here and you've got it here, when those things are in alignment, nothing's going to stop you. And that's what it's all about.
I love that. Leaving us with an absolute gem to wrap this episode up. And I've said it multiple times. I'm inspired and pumped up. I'm gonna finish this Friday right now because of this conversation. It's just driving me forward. And I know the listeners will too, because this, if they connect with my story, they're gonna connect with your story and all the pieces that are, in sync with this. And so now, let us know what is the best way for us to support and get in contact with what you're doing.
Well, you can actually be looking for the Positive Persistence podcast. It's going to be coming out next month. Well, it'll be coming out in June, so it'll be coming out this summer. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Positive Persistence, or you can follow me at Ian R. Bowen as well. So you can find me in those areas, and just keep your eyes out, keep your eyes peeled, because like Ben Newman says, we are coming for everything. Right, Dan? Like, it's
Right.
positive, 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 right? And I tell my clients this when they're in our gym, I'm gonna be pushing this positivity up where the sun don't shine until it comes out the other side, because that's the only way that we're gonna move forward together. Period.
Love that. Now
Yeah,
we go
man.
together.
Now we go together. Yes, now we
Yes.
go.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Ian, thank you so much for being real, raw, and vulnerable with us today. Your courage and transformation shine hope on others, and the world is a brighter and better place because of you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and spending time with us today.
Dan, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, and hope to continue to connect with you. And like you said, our stories vibe. So let's just keep working together to make the world a better place, man.
Keep on spreading greatness together.
You got it. Yeah, Dan. No, I appreciate you too, man. I feel our energy vibes on the same wavelength, and like I said, and like you noted, that we do have a lot of similarities in like our stories in terms of not necessarily what we went through physically, but and there is the similarities that we did go through something physical and we had to come back and we had to figure out how to fight back. And because of those things, we are now where we are doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, if it weren't for those things, I'll speak for myself anyway. Like, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
Same.
You
Same.
know, so it's like if there's a purpose that I'm on the planet, it's for that to happen to me. So now I can be doing this to help other people.
Yeah, I hear that, God doesn't give you things that you can't handle, and it always feels like you can't handle it, but then you get to the other side and then you see the bigger picture, like sharing our story and impacting others and, making this positive impact. It's like I did this for a reason. And, a lot of people, putting, them in our shoes, a lot of people would crumble, to be honest. And so it takes a really strong person to get through these types of things. And that's where it's like, it happened for a reason, so that we could share it and give back. And, it's like, well, why did he pick me? But,
Right.
it's a blessing in disguise. And, I just continue to just pay that blessing forward as much as I can, and, have that perception that it is a blessing. 'Cause that's the biggest thing, is having that awareness for me to know that, like, I'm on the right path. This was supposed to happen, and I have to keep on moving forward. And, this is my mission and my calling. And, it just brings everything full circle every time.
Yeah. Dan, I have to tell you, man, like, you are wise beyond your years.
Oh, thank you.
Really? I mean, the way that you carry yourself. How old are you, by the way?
25.
Okay, so I thought you were in like your early to mid 20s. Like, the way that you carry yourself is a lot sophisticated is the right word, but it's like you have this old soul to you. Like, you have this understanding about things that people that are 25, at least when I was 25, I wouldn't have had the grace that you have. So keep being awesome, man.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the Nova Fusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive Nova Fusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high-performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money-back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back, so you have absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to novafusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.